You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Glad to have you listening this morning. Most of us have been denied the pleasures of a movie theater for weeks and weeks now, and I've been missing it. That little charge that ripples through an audience when we recognize ourselves up on the big screen. Director Jordan Peele said his film Get Out needed to be seen in a theater because without the theater energy, you'll miss the full intended experience. Or how about the thundering theater sound of a great score punctuated by the clash of Avengers weapons in Endgame?
I don't want to hurt you. I can do this all day.
Yeah, I know.
That's going to have to wait for another day. This hour, we've invited two film buffs to tell us what they've been watching on their solitary couches and why it matters that someday we get back into theaters to watch together. And I thought it would be fun to hear from you on that. And I love what you're suggesting on Twitter. Do you have a singular theater experience, a movie or a documentary that you saw that was really enriched by the experience of seeing it in the company of others? I mean, I've heard about Breaking Dawn Part 2, the Jackass movies, Bridesmaids, A Quiet Place. Which movie or documentary have you watched during social isolation that you want to recommend? So I'd love to make a list and I'll take your recommendations. But I'd really love to hear you on this idea of going into a movie theater in the company of maybe 100 other strangers and having that experience together and what that means to the experience of watching the film. Okay, here's the phone number, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter, at Carrie, K-E-R-R-I-M-P-R. Lily Percy Ruiz is host of the podcast, This Movie Changed Me. I listened to it. She's an executive producer on Being Studios, and she's with us today. Lily, good to hear from you. How are you?
Hi, Carrie. I'm good. I'm talking to you for a change from my closet instead of getting to see your beautiful face.
Oh, my gosh. I miss you in the studio, but I'm really glad you could be with us. Thanks for doing this. Alyssa Wilkinson is with us. She's a film critic and culture reporter for Vox.com. And she is, I don't know, Alyssa, in your closet in Brooklyn? Is that where you are?
Yeah, I'm actually in my husband's office in Brooklyn, but thankfully I have a room to go to.
I'm really glad you could be with us. Thanks for doing this. Lily, I know that you, when you're screening movies, often you're alone. You're going to write about them. You're going to use them for your podcast. Are there films, have you had this experience where you think it would have... What would it have been like if I'd seen it in the company of others, and how might it have changed just my whole perception of what the film was saying?
Well, I think about that a lot right now.
Sure.
As I've been streaming movies here at home, and I will tell you that even as you were talking, I nearly started crying because I miss movie theaters so much.
I know.
They are church to me. I mean, the way people talk about going to the church is how I feel about going to the movie theaters. It's a singular experience where I get to be alone within myself, but also surrounded by other people who are all sharing the same experience, which is so magical. I've been actually watching a lot of movies from the Indian actor Irfan Khan, who just passed away last week.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many of his movies that I saw in the theater that left an impact on me, like The Namesake, for example.
Oh.
I remember seeing that for the first time by myself when I lived in New York City and having the experience of feeling so... uniquely alone, but also accompanied by all the people around me who were also crying. And watching his movies right now, the ones I never got a chance to see in the theater, I've been thinking about that shared emotional experience we all have together.
You know, Alyssa, even if it isn't some, you know, some huge emotional moment at the end of the movie or something, or it isn't something where it's funny so everybody's laughing out loud, there is just some different energy about sitting side by side with other people and having this experience, asking maybe the same questions about where the film is going, or wondering why the choices were made, right, that the director made. How do you think about this?
Yeah, totally. One thing I always notice when I'm watching a movie in a theater is that I'm smaller than the screen, which I have a pretty big TV at home, but that's not even true, you know, in my own home. So I think there's something really special about being kind of dwarfed by the experience you're having.
Good way to put it. Yeah.
And being so with a whole bunch of people who are feeling that. Yeah. It makes a big difference, I think. And it also, one thing I think people have trouble doing is not using a second screen while they're watching at home.
Yeah, for sure.
So your phone dings or pings or whatever. And it's harder to just have the discipline to turn off your phone and pay attention. And even for me, I mean, my job is to watch movies, but I still find it so much more difficult to really concentrate on them when I'm at home.
Do
there's
you
so
really?
Many distractions. Really? Yeah. You know,
why do you think that is?
Oh, you know, the doorbell rings, or I get uncomfortable in this chair. I want to move to this other chair, or I realize I'm hungry and my own food is right there. You know, there's just all these things you can't really do in the theater. And I think that's pretty significant, actually. And I mean, that's one of the many reasons that I really can't wait. Well, I can wait, but I hope movie theaters are able to reopen safely, you know, in the not super distant future.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too, right? What the business looks like on the other side of this. But, you know, Lily, what Alyssa just said about, it might be the one place where you put everything aside and you face forward and you focus. I didn't realize how unusual that experience is becoming in the multitasking, screen-filled world we live in. But yeah.
Yeah, no, for me, I think going back again to that church example, churches, libraries,
right,
movie theaters are always the places where I felt safe enough to just completely let go. And I think that that's been really missed by so many of us who go to movie theaters to have that experience.
Let me take some calls here first to Twitter, though. Eric says, I saw Borat on opening night before it became a phenomenon. And the nonstop laughter of the whole audience just made it feel so much better. Jennifer says, well, of course, Rocky Horror Picture Show. I don't think it needs an explanation. Zach says, A Quiet Place. And I had a number of people tweeting about this. I've never seen it in the theater. He says, it relies heavily on silence. And experiencing that with a crowd of strangers was exhilarating. Alyssa, will you just say something about the freighted silence of a larger crowd and what that means in watching a movie?
Yeah, I think sometimes, so like I have trouble laughing at a movie when I'm watching it by myself. I feel
That's
weird
funny.
About it, right? Or something like that. And I guess I'm not a very emotional film viewer, but I do notice when I'm in a crowd full of people who are being moved or being really quiet and sort of holding their breath, it changes things. One of the last films I saw in a regular theater, just with, you know, sort of without critics in it, was The Invisible Man, which was a very tense movie. And the people around me who were like screaming or jumping or just holding their breath and gasping totally adds to the experience, makes it very, very different.
You know, that's the one with Elizabeth Moss in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love her. But I heard that, how audiences were reacting, and I didn't think I could stand it.
Well, you can watch it at home now, but I don't think you're going to have the same experience.
I think you're right. Let me go to the calls here to Cynthia in Minneapolis. Hi, Cynthia. It sounds like you've recently had an experience like this. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so we took our daughter, my partner and I, we have a 3-year-old, to the Riverview to see, I think it was a beautiful day in the neighborhood, second run, and it was mostly adults in there, and it was just, you know, us and this cute little girl, and everyone around was so excited for her, and it's very sweet. And there's a moment in the movie, speaking of freighted silences, where Mr. Rogers and the main character are sitting in a diner, and Mr. Rogers says, we're going to sit here for a full minute, and we're going to be totally quiet, and it's this beautiful, amazing moment, and the entire audience was still, and we could feel the emotion building. And suddenly my daughter audibly farts.
And right into the silence?
Yes, it was amazing. It was perfect for that movie. Oh, and God. couldn't have happened in our home.
That is hilarious. What'd your poor daughter do? She laugh along with it, I hope.
Oh, she thought it was great. She loved it. It's great.
Jeez, I might as well end the show right there. I don't think it gets any
better. No, we can't top that.
We can't. To Brian in Clear Lake, Wisconsin. Hi, Brian. Is there a movie experience that still stands out for you?
Yeah, I'm going back a little bit in time, but A River Runs Through It.
Oh, my gosh. I love that movie.
You have to see that on the big screen with the majestic backdrop for that tragic story. And when I was in the theater with my wife, the tears came, of course, and I'm sort of the gruff male who doesn't like that. But later on, I tried to relive that experience a little bit watching it on the small screen, and it just didn't do it.
No, I get that. I get that. Yeah, and Lily, I mean, of course, the cinematography on that is so beautiful, but I love that movie, too, for its the kind of intensity of the small emotions that the boys are having, and the camera just brings you in on that. You don't get that on the small screen, I don't think.
No, I mean, it's an entirely different experience because you're just, I think you're sucked in by that big screen feeling. It feels like it's wrapping around you, and you just get so lost in the experience that you become one with those characters. And those intimate moments that you're describing, it's so true. You forget that you are you, and you're just in their world.
That's right.
I remember when I saw Leave No Trace. That's one of the last movies that really left an impact for me. And I saw it at the Lagoon Theater, you know, here in Minneapolis. And it was the same kind of silence, and all you could hear was the audience crying at certain moments. Again, I felt so accompanied in watching the movie, and also at the same time completely lost in the characters and the story.
Okay, that's a great way to put it, accompanied, because when you're in a moment, Alyssa, in a movie where it demands, you know, compassion or it demands some kind of emotion that I think some of us want to keep bottled up, there's a permission to that when other people are responding in the same way.
Yeah, that's right. And it's interesting because the stakes are pretty low in a sense. We know the story isn't real.
That's right.
That we're, you know, it's not actually happening, but that actually gives us sort of a feeling that we can respond to it, I think, together in a different way. And also that we can respond to it the same, you know, the same movie over and over again. If you go back and see it again here in New York, you know, we have a really great repertory movie scene where we can go see classics and old movies or movies that, you know, are maybe not so old, but they're worth seeing again. And I'm really missing that as well.
I'll
because
bet.
I tried to go see my favorite movies on the big screen. Another one that I had just seen was 2001 A Space Odyssey, which I've seen a number of times in big theaters. But yeah, I mean, you cannot possibly have the same experience with that outside a theater.
No. Listener here says, I love this, Breaking Dawn Part 2, which was the last Twilight movie. There's a huge twist at the end that differs from the book, and the entire sold-out theater was literally screaming obscenities at the screen. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I love that.
And then Dave says, unforgettable movie experience, getting blown away watching the fully restored edition of Lawrence of Arabia in gorgeous 70mm on a CinemaScope surround screen at the long gone but not forgotten Cooper Theater in the Twin Cities. Oh, that's great. Lily Ruiz with us, host of the podcast, This Movie Changed Me. She's an executive producer at On Being Studios. And Alyssa Wilkinson with us, film critic and culture reporter for Vox.com. And we are reflecting on what it means to do something that most of us have not been able to do, which is go into a theater and share the experience of a movie together, whether it is you know, endure the silences together, whether it is grab for one another's hands because, you know, you're watching a horror flick. And I'm asking you for some of those singular theater experiences that we've been missing. So we'll live vicariously through your calls and your tweets this morning. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828 on Twitter at Carrie NPR to Pamela in Minneapolis. Hi, Pamela. Thanks for waiting.
Hi there.
Hi. What are you talking about today with us?
Oh, one of the best days of the year is every year at the Riverview. They do a Lord of the Rings trilogy showing.
Oh, yes. Film. So great.
And it is magnificent to be lost in Middle Earth. And I wish I could have been lost in Middle Earth during this whole pandemic.
I know. What a great place to be. Middle Earth. Haven't thought about it like that.
Yes.
Lily, have you been to that?
Oh, I have.
What's it like?
My butt was very tired by the end of the day because you're there from, I think, if Pamela can correct me, but I think it's like 9:45 in the morning to about midnight. Because it's not just the Lord of the Rings movies, it's the director's cuts.
Oh.
And it is also one of the greatest experiences. My colleagues at work had to suffer through me. Every meeting, I somehow found a way to come back to Lord of the Rings. I was just like, you know, that's so much like when Frodo says this to Sam, and everyone's like, stop talking about it.
So, Alyssa, do you go to marathons or, you know, too much?
I do. I mean, in normal times, film festivals are marathons in themselves. I am,
that's true,
you know, I might see like 5 movies a day. But actually, the Lord of the Rings is funny. We had the kind of live orchestra version of that come through a couple years ago. We went to all 3 nights. Yeah, that was quite an experience. I hadn't seen it since, I don't know, high school, I guess. And it was a totally new and very exciting experience to see it with a whole choir and an orchestra and all of that. Very, very moving.
I'll bet. Hey, Alyssa, this is something I've always wondered about. When, as a film critic, you are going to these festivals and you're seeing, like you said, maybe 4 or 5 movies in a day, how do you bring, you know, the singularity, I guess, of the experience each time you sit down to watch the next film? I mean, by film four, I'm numbed. I would think I'd be numbed and kind of dazed and not bringing my best self to the experience. So how do you do it?
Well, I sometimes I think about it like being an athlete. So you kind of have to train for it, you know, work your way up. But also everyone has their own little rituals. So I try to get something new to eat or drink for every movie. And it helps me kind of refocus. And also, thankfully, at most huge festivals, each of the screenings are in a different spot. So
it helps.
Often I've kind of run from one place to another or stood in a line or something. So you're kind of resetting, but it's definitely a skill. And it's, I always think of festivals as kind of the extreme sport version of it is that I do.
I mean, it sounds like you're kind of talking about a palate. You need some kind of, I don't know, palate cleanser in between. Lily, how do you do this?
Oh, I don't actually, because I find that after movie number 2, I tap out. You're totally right. It is an extreme sport. I also find I can't remember what I watched.
That's
part of why I find it hard to do more than 2 in a day. I really struggle with that.
I mean, you know how many books I read? I could not spend 8 hours just going from experience to literary experience to lit. No way. I don't have it by the end of that. Okay. Drew says seeing Avatar in 3D was a memorable theater experience. Yeah. Chris says Bridesmaids to be in the company of 30, 40 something women. Absolutely. Magnified the humor. We all laughed at the same things. Another listener here says, I don't know that I knew I wanted to see it with strangers, but I'm glad I did. And that's the Florida project. I should ask you two before we go back to the phone. So Alyssa, what is there a real singular movie experience for you that it just wouldn't have been the same had you not seen it at some point with other people?
Yeah, I mean, that's so much of what I see. I usually do think of Get Out as one of the big ones for that.
Do you? Okay.
Nobody had seen the movie when I went to see it with a bunch of critics, and we all didn't know what we were going to get. I think a lot of people were expecting something a little more, you know, kind of campy and comedic. And then the kind of mounting realization that we were seeing, like, a genuine masterpiece unfolding in front of us was pretty unreal. And I've had that experience a few other times. It's really, there's nothing quite like that at all.
Lily, I think we've heard Lord of the Rings from you, but what else? What else that might be a little unexpected?
Well, I love that a lot of the listeners are talking about comedies, because one of the first ones that came up for me as you were talking, Carrie, was The Wedding Crashers.
Oh.
I remember seeing that movie.
That's so good.
I was an intern actually at NPR, National Public Radio in DC, and it had been a really stressful day. I can't even remember what had happened, but I felt really defeated and like a failure. And a girlfriend of mine who was in the intern program too, we went to the Chinatown Theater there in DC, and we went to see Wedding Crashers in a room full of people. And just, I remember us crying so hard from laughing. And we're just like, literally at one point, I just fell off of my chair, which has never happened, because I was laughing so hard and it was so cathartic. It felt like the exact release I needed at the time.
You got it. You needed to get it all out. Right?
Oh, yeah.
A listener says, I remember seeing Life of Brian at the tiny Von Lee Theater in Bloomington, Indiana, many years ago, and the delighted crowd reactions were definitely a plus and added to my appreciation for that movie. To the phones to Melanie in Champlin. So, Melanie, how are you thinking about this? And appreciate you waiting.
Well, it's interesting. I just read a quote on Brandi Carlile's Facebook stream, where she was talking about how she misses doing concerts. And I really thought it applied here
because
she called it a sacred live community experience.
Yes.
And that description just blew me away because it's so true.
Yeah, well said. And who knows when we're going to be able to go back into concert spaces either. Oh,
very true.
Be a good that would be a good idea for another show, Melanie. I'm glad you suggested that. Thanks. To Danny in Rochester, Minnesota. Hi, Danny. What's the movie for you? And tell me why.
Hello. Great show, by the way.
Thanks.
Loving all these different movies. Huge movie lover. For me, the movie that was amazing to watch with an auditorium full of people was Black Panther. Just going to a regular theater and watching it was amazing. But I was also part of an effort to rent a theater out and take a bunch of kids of color and kids who weren't necessarily, you know, in a position financially to be going to first run movies and paying full price. And so different organizations and individuals got together and we made that happen. And we filled the theater up with Black kids, brown kids, white kids, and watching it with all of them and listening to them cheer and seeing, you know, Black people who were, you know, men and women, the stars of the movie and the most competent, bravest, most badass heroes on the screen was a first in my life. And I'm 60 years old and it was amazing. It's something I'll never forget.
So,
in
Danny,
fact, I'm getting a little
I know. I can hear that. I can hear that. You know, Danny, I just wonder, so it sounds like you spent some time during the movie looking around at the reaction of the audience, which is always a pleasure. What do you remember seeing on the faces of the kids as they watched it?
Sheer wonder and joy and just at times amazement that there was somebody that looked like them being portrayed this way on the big screen.
I'm happy for your call, Danny. Thanks. Do you two do that? Do you, if you're seeing or you're reviewing a movie, you're spending some time during the movie also looking at the way the audience is taking it in? Alyssa, do you do that?
Yeah, when I can. A lot of times I'm watching it with a bunch of critics.
Yeah.
It's a very different audience. But even then, you know, one good thing that they sometimes do at screenings in New York is if it's a movie for kids, they let the critics bring their kids. And so that's always delightful because you get to hear a chorus of children reacting to the film. But when I get to see a film in a public screening, it's always really exciting to hear the response of the audience.
Yeah. I don't know, Lily, when do you think we lose that, along with a lot of other things, right, from childhood, it kind of falls away, but that sheer willingness to immerse ourselves in the experience? I still, for as much, there are very few experiences, theater or movie theater, that I can say I let go and I was fully immersed in. Something about the way we do that as kids, that is really a pleasure to behold again.
Well, I would disagree. I find that if the movie is that good, I will lose myself in it. Like,
really?
Leave No Trace, which I named, that's the last movie that I was just completely sucked in.
I have to watch that. Okay.
Oh, my God.
What's so good?
What's so compelling about it?
I think it was the intimacy of the relationship between his father and his daughter and the quietness of it, too. I do think there's something to movies that are more intimate and quiet that you're just kind of drawn in. But I just felt so curious. I was so curious about them that I just lost myself in it. I think for you, Carrie, it's probably the same as when you read an amazing book.
Yes.
Where you just get sucked in.
That's right.
You forget the world around you. You're just in the story. And that's the same thing that happens when the script, the acting, the soundtrack, when the direction, all that stuff aligns when you're watching a movie.
Okay, that's really well said, because I just interviewed an author on Monday, and I told her that I'd had that experience really against all expectations with the novel. And it
that's
felt
a huge deal for you because
it
you've
is,
read so
yeah,
much.
That's right. I tumbled in and tumbled out of her world, and it was cleansing too. It was cathartic.
Wow.
This is about movies, by the way, not about books. Lily Percy with us from This Movie Changed Me, the podcast, and Alyssa Wilkinson with us from Vox.com, where she's the film critic and culture reporter. And we're taking your calls and your ideas about those singular movie theater experiences and what you miss about them, because we're not doing it now. We don't know when we'll be back into movie theaters. Is there a film that really had to be seen in the company of friends and strangers? And what is it about that experience that remains memorable today? And I'm going to go right back to the phones because we have so many people want to get in on this. To Stephanie in Minneapolis. Hi, Stephanie. Is there a singular experience? Yeah.
Well, I'm dating myself. I went to the Orpheum Theater in downtown Minneapolis and saw Shot in the Dark with Audrey Hepburn.
Oh.
And as I was sitting there, and when she is blind and the perpetrator jumps on her, I think I jumped on the person. The theater was crowded. I screamed and jumped on the person next to me's lap. And the girlfriend that I was with was so embarrassed, but I was so engrossed in helping Audrey. And the other film that I think, again, I'm dating myself, was The Odd Couple.
Oh,
I had gone on a date to the theater, and we were early, and we could hear the people laughing before we got into the movie. And when we got into the movie, I thought, oh, that's why they were laughing so hard with Walter Matthau. So I said, those are my two experiences that, as an older person, I really can relate to. I said, I was with Audrey Hepburn and Walter Matthau,
Hey, those are two good classic films, maybe to screen right now, right at home.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit of a different experience. I wanted to ask you, too, in the intro, I played the cut from the Avengers Endgame, and I'm hearing about that as singular movie experiences here. And I was reading an interview with Anthony and Joe Russo, the brothers who directed it, and their theory is that it may become more challenging to get people into theaters long term because there are so many streaming and content options, and we are, you know, during this, growing more accustomed to the, you know, the smaller size of the screens. And Joe Russo was talking to the New York Times about this, and he said there has to be a feeling that they gain, meaning moviegoers, that they gain through that communal theatrical experience that they cannot get at home. That's why when Marvel is going for a payoff of 10 years of storytelling, you want to be there in the theater to have that experience with everyone else who's clapping and cheering. But he's also saying, Lily, that there are films that don't need that communal experience to be memorable and important. What do you think about that?
I disagree. I mean, I think I actually think the opposite is going to happen. I know that before the pandemic, it's been many years that folks have kind of started to watch movies at home and theater ticket sales have declined. Maybe this is too naive and hopeful of me, but I think the opposite is going to happen after this because we're going to be so excited to be together in a movie theater watching movies. And I don't think we're going to make exceptions because it's an independent film or an art film versus a big action movie. I mean, speaking of the Russo brothers, I believe their new movie with Chris Hemsworth, I think it's Extraction, that just came out on Netflix. I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of holding back from watching it because I'm hopeful it'll be released in a movie theater.
Oh,
because
really?
I feel like an action movie with the amount of money and intention and care that they put into filming them to make me as an audience member freak out over what I'm seeing on screen, to get to see it in a big screen to me feels like the only way to see it. It's not going to be the same on my little speakers
right
at home.
Right. You know, Alyssa, I have to say, though, in our house, we still like to go to movies, but I do have this tendency to say, do I need to see that on the big screen? Could we stay in? I'm worn out from the week. We could stay in and I could still like that movie. Maybe I'm part of the problem here.
I mean, there is some evidence that people who watch more movies at home also buy more movie tickets, those are correlated. Okay. Which is an interesting thing. Yeah. I think, you know, the other piece of this is that not all theaters are very pleasant movie going experiences.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes they're just not cleaned well or run well. And sometimes it's because other people can be disruptive. And, you know, there are theaters like the Alamo Drafthouse chain have, you know, kind of prided themselves on setting up conditions in which they boot you out of the theater if you take out your phone or being noisy and making the experience unpleasant for other people. And I am guessing that that is going to be an ongoing trend once theaters reopen. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I love that you mentioned Alamo Drafthouse, but I also feel like here, one of the callers mentioned the Riverview Theater, which is
right.
One of these amazing institutions here in Minneapolis where it's second-run movies. And the experience you have there is that it's almost like the audience commenting or yelling or farting, apparently. It increases the kind of enjoyment of the movie. Like, yeah. I remember seeing The Girl on a Train there. And it was a girlfriend and I who went to see it. And there was a gentleman like two rows back from us who every time there was a turn in the story was like, what? No. And I have to say, we enjoyed that movie more than we ever thought
you
because
did?
Of the commentary. Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's funny.
It was great.
Oh, my gosh. Mimi in Golden Valley says, almost 50 years ago, seeing A Clockwork Orange on the big screen. I hate that movie. That is so frightening and disturbing. She says, terrifying and still stays with me today. Yeah, all my husband has to do is say something like Clockwork and I get the creepy. I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through. DJ says, as a gay man in a small Minnesota town, I worried that watching Brokeback Mountain in our theater, I saw a lot of older people and wondered if they knew what they were seeing. At the end, I looked around and saw them all holding each other, also in tears, made my heart feel good. DJ, when somebody, one of our second callers called to talk about A River Runs Through It, and we were talking about the expression of emotion, right, and how a big screen just intensifies that experience. That's the movie I was thinking about. Lily, just, I know that my experience of that movie would not have been the same if I'd seen it at home. Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. Plus you get to see Brad Pitt on the big screen, right?
Yes.
Added bonus.
There, for sure. A call here from Ross in Boston. Hi, Ross. What's your experience?
Oh, I was just going to comment. You can't beat Star Wars 10 years old with the big screen and the score. And that was just magical. Your eyeballs are about the size of saucers all the way through.
Uh-huh.
I just wish they would re-release it on the big screen. So it's almost third generation now. My grandson's almost old enough to kind of figure out what's going on.
Well,
and I think seeing it on the big screen would be just magical for this new generation.
Yeah. So, Alyssa, don't they have movie festivals where they play all the Star Wars together? I thought they did.
Yeah, well, sometimes also theaters will just run kind of all of the old films running up to like the end of a franchise. So
yeah,
Star Wars
right.
did this. The whole, you know, Marvel Universe always does that. Although at this point it's so big that it takes, I think, like 2 days to watch all of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's so exciting. And I'll never forget going to see The Force Awakens when it opened, and there was some dads behind us who were about my age or maybe a little older, and they'd brought their kids to see this for the first time. The kids were so excited and the dads were so excited. It was a great experience to just be near them and feel their energy.
Yeah. A call here from Chris in Alexandria. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Great show.
Glad you called.
Hey, this is going to dovetail nicely because Ross is right on the money. Star Wars is one of the two films I saw where in the end, when the Death Star blew up, the place went nuts and it was sold out theater. Now, let me back up 2 years to the horror of my childhood, though. In 1976, my mom let me go see Jaws.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And
wow.
It was horrifying.
Yes. But yes.
When Chief Brody hit that scuba tank and the shark blew up, that place went nuts. And I'll never forget the camaraderie I felt with those 200 people as to when that shark finally died. I've never forgiven my mom for that, but I've never forgot that movie.
Chris,
and that and Star Wars are the two I remember.
How
when,
about, but Chris, I had the same experience with Jaws. How about the first time that full shark head comes up out of the water? I think people screamed at the top of their lungs in the movie theater that I was in.
I don't even, it was so horrible, I don't remember. I was in a living hell for an hour and a half.
That's right.
At the end, it was great. This is therapeutic for me because I've never forgiven my mother, but the end was great.
I know. So, Alyssa, have you ever seen Jaws in the movie theater?
I've actually only seen Jaws in the movie theater.
Oh, you
theater.
Have? Okay. Wow. How'd that
there's
happen?
There's a whole bunch of... Well, you know, there's summer movies sometimes, like big blockbusters that get reissued. And if I'm not... I think I may have even seen it when they were doing 3D versions of old blockbusters. I know I saw Jurassic Park that way, which kind of reminded me of, like, the wonder and glory of a... big, loud, crazy summer blockbuster.
Right.
Which we're, of course, missing the entire blockbuster season this year, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. What do you think the larger meaning of that is, if anything?
I mean, it's just going to feel really different. We've had blockbuster seasons since the 70s, and, you know, there's still a few movies that are on the schedule to open, and I'm sure they'll open some places. On the flip side, it's very possible that a lot of people are going to see some of those movies in drive-ins this summer.
And
that's kind of fun and a throwback, and I really wouldn't mind if the drive-in made a big, huge comeback and stuck around after this is all over and we can still go inside.
Listen to this from Paul Lilly. He says, have you talked about drive-in movies? Could they safely open sooner? One of my early memories of drive-in movies was watching the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, my God.
And my arms hurting the next day from grabbing the steering wheel.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, man. What a place to see those movies. Why see those movies anyway, but okay, at a drive-in? What do you think about the idea that drive-ins may be the place we get back to some kind of communal movie experience first?
It's gonna happen. Yeah.
And yeah, go ahead, Alyssa.
Oh, I've been getting, you know, notices from, there's a couple of projects in the works to make sure that there's a lot of great movies at drive-ins, and also that places that don't have drive-ins but might have a place that could be converted into one, like a giant, I don't know, parking lot or something like that. There are initiatives happening to make sure there are drive-ins across the country this summer. So I don't personally own a car, so I'm a little, you know, it's a little too not going to work for me, but I'm really excited for everyone who might get to have that experience, especially kids who've only heard about them.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, Lily, there's a great drive-in out near where I live. So that's a summer date for us. I want
oh my
you
God,
to come
yes,
out.
And... I've actually never been to one. So this will be an
what?
Amazing experience.
What?
Yeah.
You grew up in Miami. They don't have drive-ins there?
Well, if they did, my parents did not know about them. We had dollar theaters, but we did not have drive-ins.
Wow. Okay.
I'm excited.
We're going to mix up a shaker of cocktails and do a drive-in this summer.
Perfect.
All right.
Not a scary
Maybe we can
movie,
get Alyssa
please.
To fly in too for her first experience. a call here from Chris in St. Paul. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you calling. So, what are you saying?
I have two movies. I couldn't decide which one I wanted to talk about. And then I started thinking about how they contrast. The first one is Amelie, which came out in around 2002.
I love that film.
Yes. Needed
love it.
To see that in the theater. I saw it at the Lagoon. And when we left the theater, as in we, the audience, people were making eye. It was just like love through the eyes. Oh. Everyone felt so happy and just like, skipping out into the world to spread love.
That
right?
is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second movie was seeing Black Klansmen in Brooklyn, where everybody was like jumping, shouting, just like rooting for the underdog and like, go get them. And then we all, again, left the theater and we're just so happy to be alive. And that would not have happened at home on my couch.
I really like what you said about that the sensibility of the movie lasts even after the screen goes dark. That doesn't happen very often, Lily, where I'm leaving a movie and we're all kind of acknowledging, you know, together, hey, that was something pretty unusual. You know, most of the time you kind of walk out of a theater head down. I've had the experience. I'm moving on now, but... It's good.
That's a sign of, again, another great movie. I love that you mentioned Amelie, because that's another one that I recently watched right now at home since the pandemic began. Mm-hmm. And it's still just as infectious at home. And I remember just cooking afterward and smiling to myself and listening to the soundtrack. And I think one of the joys of movies is that they can completely change your mood. I mean, the last movie
that's
I saw
right.
in movie theaters was Knives Out.
And I love that movie.
Loved it.
Oh,
do you remember
so
the feeling you had afterward?
Yeah.
I mean, you were just still so filled with just joy and just the fun of it, right? I just felt like it had such a fun, entertaining experience.
Yeah, and not so bad seeing Daniel Craig in the big screen.
Even with that ridiculous accent, yes.
with that accent. Alyssa, have you seen that movie? Did you like it?
Twice, yeah.
Oh, so good.
So
I
good.
I saw it at a festival, and then I went back. It turned out it was the perfect movie for my husband and I to go see on Thanksgiving night together.
Oh, yeah. Stephanie says on Twitter, Independence Day, I was in my early teens.
Yeah.
My older brother on each side when the smoke-filled autopsy room... I was sitting on the edge of my seat as the doctor was thrown to the window. My brothers grabbed my shoulders and threw me back in my seat. I screamed so loud. I can imagine all that happening. Let me grab a call here from Jessica in St. Paul. Hi, Jessica. What's your film? Hey, Jessica, are you there? Oh, we might have lost her. Let me get to Zeke in Ely. Hi, Zeke.
Hi, good morning. And thank you for taking my call.
I'm glad you called.
The movie experience that sticks in my mind, and you have talked about it a little bit, the size of the screen and the enormity of it, was watching Jurassic Park in Fairbanks, Alaska, a number of years ago. There wasn't an empty seat in the house, and we were a bunch of seasonal park rangers from Denali. We saw it in the paper and said, let's go.
Oh,
so
wow.
We drove up there, and we were down in the second row, and we got to see these wonderful, huge dinosaurs. I mean, dinosaurs are part of the imagination DNA of every person.
Well said.
You know, huge animals. And we're there, and we're yelling along with everybody else watching these things. And you could hear children sort of snuffling and crying a little bit. And then the movie ended, and everybody, and we walked out, because this is Fairbanks, Alaska, into broad daylight midnight.
Wow.
And you could see everybody, and everybody was just grinning and, you know, laughing and things like that, because it was just such an you won't get that sitting in the comfort of your living room watching it.
Zeke, thanks so. Thank you so much for the call, Lily and Alyssa. This was so much fun. Thanks for doing it, and happy movie viewing.
Thank you, Carrie.
Marshall says we saw the very last movie shown at the Minnesota Zoo's IMAX theater. It was M. Night Shyamalan's Glass. As we left the theater, the manager on duty shook everyone's hand and thanked them for coming out. I got a little verklempt. Really is something about the big screen.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. If you'd like to hear more conversations like this, subscribe to our podcast. And thanks for listening.